The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's program is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you articles of interest from Kiplinger Personal Finance and also money.com. Our first article up today appeared in Kiplinger Personal Finance. Very interesting article and a very timely one for most of us. The hidden cost of driving higher electric bills and shorter appliance lifespans. Dirty electricity may be making your HVAC and appliances work harder while quietly increasing your monthly utility bills. And I know we've all faced those higher utility bills of recent. This article is by Sean Jackson. If you notice your home's energy bills have crept up, you're not alone. Electric bills have risen significantly in recent years, with some estimates showing increases of around 30% over the past 5 years. With more data center construction, harsher weather, and the Iran war increasing gas prices, it's a recipe for higher electric bills heading into the summer. But these factors alone are not the only reasons your bills are rising. There's a hidden factor that could add another $1,000 to your yearly cost. I'll explain what it is, how to spot it, and how to fix it. The hidden culprit, spiking your energy cost and shortening the lifespan of appliances, could be dirty electricity. So, what is it? Dirty power? Dirty power shows up as voltage spikes, sags, and harmonic distortion running through the wiring of your home, remarks Daniel Valinsky, owner and director of Pro Electrical Systems. The symptoms of this include unusual variances in your electric bill, a loud humming coming from your appliances and devices shorting out well before they should. Well, what causes dirty power? Modern electronics are a major contributor. Many devices convert AC power to DC using switching power supplies, which can introduce high-frequency electrical noise into your home's wiring. In some cases, issues can also stem from outside the home. Problems with your utility's infrastructure, such as poor grounding or aging equipment, may also contribute to voltage irregularities. Improperly installed equipment, including smart meters, can occasionally add electrical noise as well. Even everyday appliances, especially those with motors or variable speed components, can create harmonic distortion over time. Think of harmonic distortion this way. The louder the volume is on your stereo, the more distorted the sound becomes. The same applies to power. Bob Marshall, CEO and co-founder of Whisker Labs, told Kiplinger, "When your home has dirty power, your appliance motors vibrate instead of running smoothly. When a home has a total harmonic distortion of greater than 6 to 8%, it can affect anything plugged in, causing it to overheat and possibly fail prematurely. Homes with this distortion or higher can pay more than $1,000 extra in electric bills each year," remarks Marshall. "It could also shorten the operating life of your HVAC, which could lead to future costlier replacements you'll have to make more often. Whisker Labs uses data from its 1.2 million nationwide ding sensors to monitor total harmonic distortions across the country. This information allows them to identify and map the areas with the highest levels of total harmonic distortion, indicated in red sections. The cities hardest hit have older energy infrastructures. We found over 40% of the homes in Chicago have total harmonic distortion for 6 months of the year, Marshall notes. And it costs billions of dollars nationwide, impacting homeowners, businesses, and utilities alike. That's why it's imperative to determine the quality of your electricity, or you could be losing money every month. How to determine if your electricity is clean? If you notice some of your appliances humming or failing well before they should, have your home's electricity checked. There are a few ways of doing this. First, you could contact your utility company. Utilities will test your home's power to ensure the problem doesn't reside on their end, because if it does, it's costing them money too. They could place a voltage recorder on your electric meter for a few months. If they find issues, it's a problem they might have to fix, especially if it originates with loose wiring in the transformer or other issues on the utility side. You can also install a smart sensor. Sensors like TING, that's T-I-N-G, detect abnormalities in your home's electricity with 30 million measurements per second. It can alert you to unseen issues such as faulty wiring or device failures. If you use a smart sensor and it detects problems, you should contact your utility company. From there, they can determine the source of the problem. If it's on your end, you'll need to enlist an electrician. A common fix for this problem is installing whole home surge protection rated at about 40,000 amps, which intercepts voltage spikes before they reach your electronics. This could run you between $70 and $700 per Angie. In addition to that, having sensitive things such as computers and home theater systems and dedicated 20-amp circuits eliminates most of the interference from other appliances. Dedicated circuits can be a more expensive fix, Angie states. You'll spend between $570 and $1,000. Taking these steps can ensure your home uses clean electricity. Not only will it lead to lower bills at a time when many homeowners need relief, but you'll also gain more savings by keeping your appliances running longer. And our next article appeared in Money.com. The credit card dispute clock. Why waiting too long can kill a chargeback. This article by Mark Ghiberti. Correcting an error on your credit card statement, whether it be for an unauthorized fraudulent transaction, your card being charged twice, or another issue, can be challenging, but it's important to act fast. Under federal law, you generally only have 60 days from when the statement was sent to notify your credit card issuer and receive money back from an illegitimate transaction. Well, what counts as a credit card billing error? A credit card billing error occurs when a product or service shows up on a card that you did not buy or receive. You can demonstrate that the product never arrived at your door or that a service was fraudulently purchased by someone else who obtained your details. Unauthorized charges, duplicate charges, charges with the wrong date or amount, math errors, items not delivered as agreed, returned items that were still billed, and charges that need clarification are all covered under the Fair Credit Billing Act. You can dispute any of these types of charges, but a dispute isn't for you if you have buyer's remorse after a product or service was properly delivered to you. While it's optimal to resolve these issues with the seller first, you should know your rights as a credit card holder. and file disputes when necessary. This disputing process works for credit cards and revolving credit lines, but installment loans like car loans and personal loans have different rules. The first 60-day clock. It's best to pounce on any billing errors the moment you see them, but if you just noticed a mistake, you might have time to correct it. The 60-day window starts when the first bill with the error was sent. That means you may have more than 60 days from the purchase date. However, if this mistake appeared in a previous statement, you may have fewer than 60 days to resolve the issue. You don't have to complete the entire process within this 60-day clock. You just have to file a dispute with your card issuer within the 60-day window. Even if the entire process takes more than 60 days, you may receive your money back if your card issuer determines it is an error or a mistake. Cardholders will have to provide evidence that a transaction is fraudulent. Any relevant copies of emails, delivery confirmations, cancellation notices, screenshots, or merchant correspondence can help you prove your case. Calling a representative or entering a customer service chat is not the same thing as filing a dispute. When you can't reach a resolution with the seller, it's important to contact your credit card issuer right away. You may want to go straight to the card issuer and file a dispute instead of reaching out to the seller if they are close to the 60-day deadline. Well, what happens after you make your dispute? A credit card issuer must acknowledge your dispute in writing within 30 days unless the issue has already been fixed, and any dispute must be resolved within 90 days. Customers and consumers do not have to pay the disputed amount while the investigation is ongoing, but they must continue to pay their remaining bills. The disputed charge generally will not impact your credit score or report if you do not pay it right away. In the event the issuer determines the transaction was legitimate, they must provide a written explanation. Then you will be responsible for it. However, you can submit an appeal within the issuer's deadline or 10 days after receiving the explanation, depending on which is later. Our next article appeared in Money.com. AI financial advice may be more dangerous than you think. This article by Martha White. Experts say it's dangerous to let chatbots make financial decisions for you, and new research finds that the risk could be even greater than previously thought. Money pros advise against relying on AI for financial advice, but plenty of people looking for authoritative-sounding advice seem willing to overlook the warnings about how these tools can make mistakes. Surveys have found that more than half of Americans already use AI or artificial intelligence for help making financial decisions, including more than 3 in 4 adults younger than age 30. According to a new study in the Journal of Financial Planning, the issues with AI-generated financial advice might go deeper than just inaccurate advice about investing or inaccurate guidance about savings. Researchers found that the guidance offered by different chatbots can be all over the map. Even more worrying, the results suggested that some chatbots, and that's C-H-A-T-B-O-T-S, if you're not familiar with that term, chatbots, could be dispensing biased advice based on race or gender. A research team comprising professors from the University of Rome Tor Vergata in Italy and the University of Georgia analyzed financial advice dispensed by chatbots in response to prompts seeking guidance for common household money questions. 7 chatbots, 3 questions, unexpected answers. The research team evaluated OpenAI's, ChatGPT, Anthropics, Claude, Microsoft's Copilot, DeepSeek, Alphabet's Gemini, Meta AI, and Perplexity. Their prompts ask the chatbots how much emergency savings to keep, how much to withdraw from a retirement portfolio, and how to allocate assets in an investment portfolio. The results were decidedly mixed. For emergency savings, researchers ask chatbots how much money a hypothetical family of four should keep in a savings account for emergencies. Their main takeaway can be summed up as, your mileage may vary. The amount suggested ranged from $19,500 to $37,500. While either of these figures might be sensible for an individual or household based on the specifics of their finances, researchers expressed alarm that the same prompt yielded such a wide-ranging set of responses. In the event of a job loss or other crisis, relying on this advice could leave you with an inadequate cushion if you were expecting your savings to cover several months' worth of expenses, especially if you have a family to support. Alternatively, holding thousands of dollars more than you need as liquid savings could rob you of the opportunity for growth. And retirement withdrawals. Researchers found that this query yielded the most consistent advice. Five of the chatbots recommended following the traditional 4% rule in response to prompts asking how much to withdraw each year to avoid outliving a retirement nest egg. Two recommended withdrawing 5% annually. Even though these responses were more uniform, this doesn't necessarily make them more useful. Longer lifespans and rising costs, especially for costly end-of-life health care, have led many financial advisors to revisit the, quote, traditional wisdom and decrease the maximum withdrawal percentage to ensure that people don't outlive their money. Portfolio allocation. Here again, the phrase, quote, your mileage may vary, end quote, best sums up the responses to a prompt asking for investment advice for a hypothetical 30-year-old couple with two kids, a 10-year time horizon, $300,000 available to invest, and a low risk tolerance. Gemini said it couldn't offer recommendations and advised, quote, consulting a professional for a portfolio aligned with risk tolerance and time horizon, end quote. The remaining six chatbots diverged wildly in their recommendations about how much of a portfolio to allocate to stocks, bonds, alternative assets, and cash. They recommended between 15% and 40% in stocks. Even at the upper end, that percentage is still far below the 70% in stocks that the popular 100 minus your age investing rule suggest for a 30-year-old couple. Some chatbots might dispense biased advice. In a second series of experiments, researchers kept the prompts the same, but varied the demographics of the people supposedly submitting the queries. Some prompts yielded wildly divergent results when the head of the household was changed from a man to a woman, or from white to black. The researchers expressed concern about these findings, saying they raise questions about the consistency and fairness of Gen AI-driven recommendations. AI chatbot users might not realize that the financial advice they receive could be biased by demographic factors, the researcher said. A growing number of studies have found that people tend to trust chatbots more than they should. The writers of this new paper warn that the authoritative and conversational tone chatbots adopt can lead people to place undue trust in the answers they provide. Gen AI-driven responses may sound confident, but can still be incomplete, misleading, or incorrect, they wrote. Chatbots also aren't held to any kind of fiduciary standard. While certified financial planners and some other money management pros are legally obligated to give advice that's in a client's best interest, there are no guardrails around what a chatbot recommends. Despite the lack of consumer protections, developers are forging ahead with programs and features that would allow users to conduct an increasingly array of financial activities on chatbot platforms. For instance, 2 months ago, OpenAI rolled out a suite of tools that let ChatGPT Pro subscribers connect their bank, brokerage, and credit card information to their accounts. Our next article appeared in Money.com. The typical home now sells for below list price in more than 40 major cities. This article by Liliana Hall. Homes are now selling for less than their asking price in 41 of the nation's largest housing markets, according to a new analysis of Redfin data from Best Interest Financial. The findings are another sign that after years of bidding wars, buyers are finally gaining leverage. During the pandemic housing boom, buyers routinely bid above asking prices and waived contingencies to win homes. Now higher mortgage rates, slower demand, and a growing supply of homes for sale are shifting the balance, giving buyers more room to negotiate. That doesn't mean homes have suddenly become affordable. Prices remain near record highs, and mortgage rates are still elevated. But for buyers who spent years waiting for the seller's market to fizzle out, current conditions could offer more room for negotiation. More than 40 major housing markets are now selling below asking price. The Best Interest Financial Analysis compared median sale prices with median list prices across the nation's 50 largest metropolitan areas. Across the markets analyzed, the national median sale-to-list ratio was 98.3%, meaning the typical home sold for about 1.7% below its asking price. The difference between a home's list price and its eventual sale price varied by metro area. In some markets, buyers are negotiating only slightly below asking, while in others, sellers are accepting significantly lower offers. Miami, Houston, Austin, and Tampa, Florida posted some of the nation's largest gaps between list prices and final sale prices, indicating buyers had the greatest negotiating leverage in those markets. Miami had the lowest sale-to-list percentage among the metros analyzed. Homes there sold for 95.42% of their asking price on average, meaning buyers paid roughly 5% less than sellers initially requested. At the other end of the spectrum, homes in New York City, Boston, and San Francisco continued to sell at or above list price, suggesting sellers still have the upper hand in some markets. San Francisco, where median home prices are the highest in the country, recorded the nation's highest sale-to-list percentage, with homes selling for 108.87% of their asking price on average. In other words, buyers typically paid nearly 9% more than sellers' initial asking prices. Texas stands out as one of the country's most buyer-friendly housing markets. All four of its major metros, Houston, Dallas, Austin, and San Antonio, ranked among the 10 markets where home prices sold the furthest below asking price. More than one quarter of active listings in San Antonio, 28.2%, have had a price reduction, the highest share among major U.S. markets analyzed in Best Interest Report. Homes in Austin and San Antonio are also taking longer to sell, spending about 3 months on the market, giving buyers more time to compare options and negotiate with sellers. Well, why buyers are gaining leverage? A growing supply of homes for sale is giving buyers more options and reducing the pressure to compete for limited inventory. The National Association of Realtors reported 1.56 million homes on the market in June, equal to a 4.6-month supply. That means there are enough homes currently listed to last nearly 5 months if no new listings were added. While that's still shy of the roughly 6-month supply typically associated with a balanced market, when neither buyers nor sellers have a clear advantage, it's an improvement from the inventory shortages that define much of the pandemic era. At the same time, elevated mortgage rates have cooled buyer demand, giving sellers fewer opportunities to spark bidding wars. There were nearly 500,000 more home sellers than buyers nationwide in June, the largest imbalance since 2020, according to Redfin. About 70% of the country's largest metropolitan areas are now considered a buyer's market. Still, affordability remains a significant hurdle. The median existing home price reached a record $440,600 for June. That's up 1.8% from a year earlier, according to NAR. Meanwhile, the average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage has remained above 6.5%, keeping monthly payments elevated despite buyers' growing bargaining power. Those affordability pressures are especially pronounced in some of the country's most expensive markets. As Money recently reported, a record 242 U.S. cities now have starter homes worth at least $1 million. That's triple the number before the pandemic, underscoring how the cost of home ownership remains out of reach for many Americans. Well, we are now out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. We hope you've enjoyed listening, and we certainly hope you will join us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Money Matters is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.